In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. The readings that the church gave us today, very, very interesting. There is a wide way that leads to damnation and perdition, and many choose it. There is a narrow way that leads to salvation, and few choose it. I was wondering why, and the reason I give is they are not hearing the gospel preached. The gospel is not being preached to people so that they can choose the narrow way. Oh, they speak about Jesus, but do they tell you about their relationship with Jesus, about their love of Jesus? Do they tell you that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead, and that they give their whole life up for the proclamation of the gospel? I tell you, the narrow way leads to salvation, and few choose it. Why? Because people are not preaching the gospel. We need to pray that people would be raised up to preach the gospel. Like I was talking about you the other day when I talked about Martin, a young 25-year-old boy who's going around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Everybody says, is he a priest? He's not a priest. He's going to get married. But you see, he preaches the gospel, and he gets many invitations. Why is there few that use the narrow way? Is because the lack of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the lack of people offering their whole life to Jesus Christ. The narrow way is very, very, tinsely. A lot of tinsel looks nice. Not the narrow way, the wide way is tinsely. It's got all lights. It says, come this way. You won't suffer. I tell you, the wide way leads to hell. What way, what road are you on? The narrow road that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you on that road? Or are you on the wide road that leads to perdition? Make a change. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. He was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he pours out his Holy Spirit. It is so important that we choose the narrow way, and it's only through Jesus Christ, who is the narrow way, that we come into salvation, redemption, and all the things that God has for us, justification. Amen. Amen. Choose the narrow way, who is Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm looking at chapter 27 of Acts of the Apostles. Finally, all hope of our surviving was taken away. There was a very bad nor'easter on the water, and they said all hope of surviving was taken away. When many would no longer eat, Paul stood among them and said, men, you should have taken my advice and not have set sail from Crete, and you would have avoided this disastrous loss. I urge you now to keep up your courage. Not one of you will be lost, only the ship. In other words, he's speaking prophetically. Isn't it wonderful that someone could speak prophetically? We can speak prophetically too. Oh yes, I preach the gospel. That means people are going to receive it, and they're going to be going through the narrow road, which is Jesus Christ. For last night, an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood by me and said, don't be afraid, Paul. You are destined to stand before Caesar. And behold, for your sake, God has granted safety to all who are sailing with you. In other words, because of Paul, God plants salvation, saving all these people, not spiritual salvation, physical salvation because of Paul. Do you know, this is very interesting. I remember going to a new parish, and when I got there, I said to the pastor, you know, God's going to bless you. And he said, how do you know? I said, because I know when I am in a place, God blesses the pastor because he knows who I am. I don't know what he thought, but I was proud. It had nothing to do with pride. It had everything to do with I know that because of me, this guy was going to prosper. And you know what? He did. He prospered. He bought himself a beautiful home up in New Hampshire. Therefore, keep up your courage, men. I trust in God that will turn out as I have been told. We are destined to run aground on some island. On the 14th night, as we were still being driven about on the Adriatic Sea, toward midnight the sailors began to suspect that they were nearing the land. They took soundings and found 20 fathoms a little farther on. They again took soundings and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that we would run aground on the rocky coast, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. The sailors then tried to abandon ship. They lowered the dinghy to the sea as a pretext of going to lay our anchors from the bow. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men stay with you and stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes of the dinghy and set it adrift. Until the day began to dawn, Paul kept urging all to take food. You see, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. He's speaking prophetically even to people that are pagan. And they're listening to him. Why? Because his prophetic word came true when they weren't supposed to leave Crete. God uses people to speak the prophetic word. God uses people to speak the prophetic word. He said, today is the 14th day that you have been waiting, going hungry and eating nothing. I urge you, therefore, to take some food. It will help you survive. Not a hair of your head or of any one of you will be lost. Remember what Sunday's reading was? The Lord knows how many hairs we have in our head. Oh yes, he knows us so well. He loves us so well. Even he understands and sees a bird falling to the ground. Are you not more important than a flock of birds? Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus was buried for you. Jesus rose from the dead for you. Are you not more important than me too, than a flock of birds? Of course. Of course we are. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. Yes. And then, if there's anyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. Do you acknowledge Jesus before men and women? Do you acknowledge Jesus, or are you ashamed of Jesus? Acknowledge him. Let people know who you are, but be gentle. Be gentle. When he said this, he took bread, gave thanks to God in front of them all, broke it, and he began to eat. They were all encouraged and took some food themselves. In all, there were 276 of us on the ship. After they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing the wheat into the sea. This is important because they want to be, they want to survive. They want to survive. Paul said, you're going to survive. When day came, they did not recognize the land, but made out a bay with the beach. They planned to run the ship ashore on it, if they could. So they cast off the anchors and abandoned them to the sea. And at the same time, they unfastened the lines of the rudders and hoisting the foresail into the wind, they made for the beach. Guess where they're going to land? Guess where they're going to land? They're going to land in Malta. Do you know people in Malta? Many of their children's names are Paul, because Paul lands in Malta. But they struck a sandbar and ran the ship aground. The bow was wedged in and could not be moved, but the stern began to speak up under the pounding of the waves. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners so that none might swim away and escape, but the centurion wanted to save Paul and so kept them from carrying out their plan. Paul had favor with the centurion. Pagan had favor with them. He ordered those who would swim to jump aboard first and get to the shore, and then the rest. Some on planks, others on debris from the ship. In this way, all reached the shore safely, just as Paul said they would. Once we had reached safely, we learned that the island was called Malta. The natives showed us extraordinary hospitality. What do you think Paul's going to do to the people of Malta? He's going to preach the gospel. Isn't that something? All these pagans are going to hear the gospel. They're going to find the narrow way. Oh, yes. Who is Jesus? All these pagans are going to be converted as Paul preaches the gospel. How we need to preach the gospel. You know what Amos said? In the last days, there would be a drought, not of rain, but of the word of God. People will go from north to south, try to finding the word of God, and they're not going to find it. Oh yes, a drought of the word of God. I believe we're in that right now. Not many people preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if we as priests do not do it, God will raise up people to do it, because it's people's job as well as our job as ministerial priests. Oh yes, we have Maria Vadia, we have Martian, we have other people going out to preach the gospel of Jesus. The natives showed us extraordinary hospitality. They lit a fire and welcomed all of us because it had begun to rain and it was cold. Paul had gathered a bundle of brushwood and was putting it on the fire when a snake, a viper, escaping from the heat, fastened on his hand. Remember, Jesus said you're going to handle snakes? He didn't mean you play around. He means that when you're doing missionary work and a snake bites you, you're going to be okay. When the natives saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must certainly be a murderer, though he escaped the sea." These people are so hard-hearted. Justice has not let him remain alive. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no harm. Guess what they want to do now? They were exceedingly expecting him to swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to Paul, they changed their minds and began to say that he was God. He was a God. See, crazy. They go from, you know, he's committed these terrible sins. That's why the snake bites him now, because he doesn't die. They say he's a God. But Paul knows he's not a God. Paul knows he is the preacher. He comes to proclaim the word of God. In the vicinity of that place were lands belonging to a man named Publius, the chief of the island of Malta. He welcomed us and received us cordially as his guests for 3 days. It so happened that the father of Publius was sick with the fever and with dysentery. Paul visited him and after praying laid hands on him and healed him. After this had taken place, the rest of the sick on the island came to Paul and were cured. And I'm going to tell you, they got more than being cured. They got the gospel told to them. They gave their life to Jesus. Oh, yes. I tell you, curing people draws people to hear the gospel. Curing people by the power of the laying on of hands calls people to receive the gospel. Receive the gospel. After this had taken place, the rest of the sick on the island came to Paul and were cured. They paid us great homage, and when we eventually set sail, they brought us provisions that we needed. 3 months later, we set sail on a ship. So they were in Malta 3 months, and Paul preached the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he healed the sick. He healed the sick. I don't know if he raised the dead, but I do know he proclaimed Jesus Christ to these pagan people. And as a result, Malta is a Catholic Christian island even to this day. 3 months later, we set sail on a ship and had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the Dioscuri as its forehead. We put it out to Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. And from there we sailed around the coast and arrived at Rhegium. After a day, the south wind came up, and 2 days we reached Puteoli. There we found some brothers and were urged to stay with them for 7 days. Brothers who believed in Jesus. The word got around. Didn't stay in Jerusalem. Why? Because of persecution. Because of persecution, the word of God was proclaimed in other places. They had to leave Jerusalem. And God used this persecution to proclaim the word of God to pagans. And thus we came to Rome. The brothers from there heard about us and came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. There were already Christians in Rome. On seeing them, Paul gave thanks to God and took courage. When he entered Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. It was like a house arrest. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. What's he going to do with the leaders of the Jews? Going to preach the gospel. Because the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the pagan. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had gathered, he said to them, "My brothers, although I had done nothing against our people or our ancestral customs, I was handed over to the Romans as a prisoner from Jerusalem. After trying my case, the Romans wanted to release me because they found nothing against me deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was obliged to appeal to Caesar, even though I had no accusations to make against my own nation. This is the reason, then, that I've requested to see you and to speak with you, for it is on the account of the hope of Israel that I wear these chains." The hope of Israel, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for us, who was buried and who rose from the dead. The hope of Israel. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to reject it. They answered him, "We have received no letters from Judea about you, nor has any of the brothers arrived with a damaging report or rumor about you. But we should like to hear you present your views, for we know that this sect is denounced everywhere." So they arranged the day with him and came to his lodgings in great numbers. Go and talk to the Jews first. From early morning until evening, he expounded his position to them, bearing witness to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets. Yes, he's going to take the law of Moses and the prophets and show that they testified to Jesus Christ, the true Lord and the true Savior of the world. Some were convinced by what he said to them, while others did not believe. Without reaching any agreement among themselves, they began to leave. Then Paul made one final statement. Well, did the Holy Spirit speak to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, saying, go to this people and say, you shall indeed hear, but you shall not understand. You shall indeed look, but you shall never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will not hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes so that they may not see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted, and I would heal them. Let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been given and sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. In other words, Paul says, I came to the Jews first. Only a few Jewish people believed in the Messiah. So I'm going now to the Gentiles in Rome. He remained for 2 years in this lodging. He received all who came to him, and with complete assurance and without hindrance, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, how we need preachers who proclaim the kingdom of God and teach people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need people to do that even to this day. I pray that by the grace of God, many people who are being ordained will have fire burning in their bones to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts of the Apostles ends on chapter 28. There is a retreat called Acts 29. What does that mean? Acts only has 28 chapters. Acts 29 is we live it out. We live out the Acts of the Apostles. You shall lay hands upon the sick. You shall take my name and bring it to the Gentiles. Yes. Let's look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. I'll receive it and read it again. But you will receive power, Acts 29, us, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. Oh yes, those are the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was taken up into heaven. I'm going to ask you, have you received that power, the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you become docile to the Spirit and speak the words of God? Who have you witnessed to recently? Who have you prayed for recently that they would come to know Jesus? I don't know. I try every day to proclaim the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. Every day I come, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I come preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I try to do the best I can. I want to invite you, between July 9th and the 15th, to the School of the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you, between 9th and 15th of July, to the School of the Holy Spirit. We are going, by God's grace, to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. How does the Holy Spirit move in power? When we begin to worship God and praise His name. Oh, it's not only singing songs. It's getting into the presence of God, that the glory of God would fall upon us. It's not only singing songs. It has to do with loving the Lord with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind. Do you love Him today? Do you love Him today? I tell you, we need to love the Lord because He is the Lord. We need to proclaim the Word because He told us to. Go into the whole world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We as Catholics have done very well in baptizing. We have not made too many disciples. We need to make disciples so that they will go out and do the work of the Spirit of God. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If you've received a letter from the ministry, please answer it and send us the donation so we can pay the bills for May. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.